In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shall be.
Well, on this feast day of the circumcision of our Lord, we hear in the Gospel of how the Lord is taken on the eighth day, as is the custom among the Jews, to have the child circumcised, and also the child is given a name. And so, first and foremost, we understand that Christ submits himself to the law, to fulfill the law, as we are all familiar in the Gospel when the Lord says, "Do not suppose I came to abolish the law, but rather I came to fulfill it." So the Lord brings the perfect completion to the law. He is faithful. He receives a name, the name above all names, the Savior of his people, and receives circumcision. Now, the question of circumcision and why it's so important. We can understand first and foremost that Christ needed to undergo circumcision, as I just said, out of faithfulness to honor the traditions of his fathers, to honor the traditions that he, in fact, established himself amongst his people. The question is why? Why circumcision? Okay, I'll try to keep this as G-rated as possible. Let's understand something. What is the purpose of circumcision? Fundamentally, the purpose of circumcision is a spiritual one. It was instituted for spiritual reasons. And the spiritual reasons are such that we understand that man must be wounded. Man must be wounded because of his transgressions and his sin. And this wounding is the means by which healing comes. St. John Climacus, in the latter, he says, "The way in which the wound goes in is the way it must come out." The way the wound goes in is the way it comes out. And what that means is when we are stricken by a passion, not a sin, but a passion. Remember the distinctions. All passions are sins, but not all sins are passions. So what is a passion? A passion is this disease, this chronic ailing of the soul. One that is so seemingly habitual that it seems like it's a part of you. You don't know how to get rid of it. We all have sins. But more importantly, and more dangerously, we have passions. And those passions are those things that haunt us and torment us. And oftentimes, these are things that are passed on to us from our parents, from our grandparents, from our culture. And these passions, these are the things that keep us from God, and these are the things that anchor us into the world and keep us connected to death. And so in order for the wounding that happens from these passions to be undone, we in turn must be wounded. This may sound odd to you, but let me explain to you in a different way. When you have some sort of physical ailment or malady, oftentimes the physician will have to inflict some sort of wound to bring about your healing. If you need an injection, he gives you an injection, he'll pierce your flesh with a needle. If you've had some sort of bone broken, oftentimes you must have the bone set, which is very painful. Perhaps we're having some sort of alignment issues, we must be put back into place. It's painful. But the pain that is inflicted to heal the wound is far simpler and oftentimes easier than the pain that first brought it. But there still must be pain. There must be a wound. And so the circumcision that Christ underwent is to get at the fulfillment of circumcision, which is this. Man must be cut away from his sensual desires. Because this longing for sensual pleasure, this longing to escape our penance, this is where all of our passions are first formed. And so we must understand that ultimately, what happens is what? The circumcision of the heart. But if you want to understand what the circumcision of the heart is, you first have to understand the original circumcision. Because the first circumcision is a dulling of the flesh, if you understand. It's a dulling of the flesh. So yes, the flesh can still procreate, and yes, the flesh can still be unitive, but it's a dulling of the flesh. Why? Because we have made the sensuality of our flesh an idol. And that idol is what brings in the passions. We seek to escape whatever God has for us. We seek to escape the truth of who we are, and we drown ourselves out with sensuality, with too much drink, with too much food, with too much pleasure. And so a Christian, in their baptism, is receiving the fulfillment of circumcision. Because a Christian, in their baptism, is having their heart circumcised, which means that they have a heart that's no longer given over to the pursuit of sensual pleasure, but the pursuit of love. Circumcision is a symbol by which we understand the purpose of love. We learn to cut away our desires so that we can love our spouses, our children, our brothers or sisters with a more pure heart. That wounding of love, that learning to say no to yourself, that learning to prefer the other, that learning to endure the pain from the other, unless you've had your heart circumcised, you can't receive that type of love. And every single one of us that are baptized, every single one of us that receive the holy gifts, every single one of us that are actually in Christ, we know this pain. And so I want to encourage all of you, my sons and my daughters, my brothers and my sisters, don't run from that pain. Because that pain of love is proof of the Spirit. That pain of love is proof that God is working out your passions. That pain of love, that circumcision of your heart, that is proof that you are in Christ. He's fulfilled the law. And now what's left for us is to walk it out. To actually walk it out, to fulfill the woundings of the Lord in the flesh. We do that. We do that. We continue to fulfill his woundings. How? By allowing our hearts to be circumcised, allowing the wounding to happen so that the greater wound of our passions, the greater and lethal wound of our sins can be healed. A little pain of sacrifice equals a great amount of love, and it is the key to the resurrection. So, on this feast day, may we remember that the Lord has fulfilled all things. And in all things, he's faithful to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.